Welcome to the Modern Yogi Podcast. An exploration of ancient wisdom.
Hello, hello, everyone.
Welcome back to the Modern Yogi Podcast. We are on episode number
115.
115.
That tracks with all our previous episodes. If you haven't heard them, go check them out. They've been some wild ride, fun, lighthearted, teary-eyed.
They've been interesting.
The spectrum of emotions.
Yeah. They've been interesting for
they've
sure.
They've been interesting. All right, we are on chapter 14, text number 11. Anyone want to do a quick recap of what we covered?
Yeah, we just talked about the three modes of material nature, and we just kind of went on to like what causes each one of them, right? So, well, with goodness, it wasn't necessarily what causes it, but like what the feeling of being in the mode of goodness is and what are the results of being in the mode of goodness. For ignorance and passion, for passion, it was desires. Yeah. And that's what causes passion to kind of grow. And what does that look like in passion? Like to live in passion. And then for ignorance, it was like, what does that do to your life? Like what happens when you are in the mode of ignorance? So if you want to learn more, you can check out the previous episode.
Yeah.
And we also talked about having compassion for ourselves and for others. Because most of the time when people are in the mode of ignorance, they're stuck, they're deflated, they've given up on life because they don't find the meaning and the purpose. And maybe they haven't been fortunate enough to find a path that inspires them, that they feel like, oh my gosh, this adds meaning and direction in my life, which is the Gita is a compass for how to live the most meaningful life and make the most of this human life form. And if I wouldn't have found this philosophy, well, you know, if we wouldn't have been born into it or discovered it or whatever, come across it, how meaningless would life be, right? You go through things and it just has no way to interpret it or to reframe those situations. And it would feel pretty obsolete and disheartening. And
there's a lack of hope too.
Lack of hope. Just like I'm suffering for the sake of suffering. What in the world? I just, life stinks sometimes. And then there's nothing you can do about it. Just that's that.
Yeah. And I think what's really important about the last episode is that these modes are constantly changing within us, right? There are days where we're going to be like super gung-ho in the mode of goodness. And the next day we're just like, something happens, like some, like, whether it's a life event or how we're feeling, or it could be planetary, or we're feeling like more in the mode of ignorance or the mode of passion. And so all of these things are constantly competing for supremacy. Yeah. We just need to be mindful of that within our own bodies, our own mind, body, spirit, and try to elevate as much as possible whenever we can.
Totally.
Because these things are always going to be in competition with each other within our own bodies.
Absolutely. And because they're always fluctuating, we want to try to become fixed beyond the feeling, not just I'm going to chant my rounds or I'm going to do my daily sadhana when I'm feeling inspired, because we're not always going to be feeling inspired. But when you root yourself in steadiness, in consistency, and in that commitment, that is a great source of strength.
Yeah, love it. All right. Invocation, please light us.
Om Agyanatimirandasya Yananjana Shalakaya Shakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha.
Translation: I was born in the darkest ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torch of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances unto them.
And speaking of the modes, the last episode that we recorded, we had had a whole marathon of things, and it was like almost, it was like 11 p.m. when we were recording, and we all felt the mode of that time of day.
That's so real.
And now here in sunny California, it is 1:30 in the afternoon, and don't we feel such a different mode upon all of us?
Yeah.
Regardless of what internal mood is going on, the each time of day carries a different mood, a different mode, right?
Yeah. Isn't it like early Brahmamurta, like, four to like six is like mode of goodness, and then we slowly move into mode of passion during the workday, and we're like go go go, energy energy energy, get work done, send that file, attach that attachment, you know, doing all the work stuff, and then slowly we move into the mode of ignorance. We're feeling more tired, more lethargic. And when we were recording last night at 11 p.m., I was like slowly fading away.
I was absolutely, I was like, we couldn't even remember if we did the translation.
Yeah. Did we do it? I have no idea. Why don't we just do it again?
Let's just do it again.
You know, I just looked up exactly what time each of these modes take place. Mm. And so mode of goodness is from 4 a.m. to 8 a.m.
Okay, nice.
Then mode of passion is 8 a.m. to 8 p.m.
Okay. Oh, wow.
So the whole day, that's a working day.
Yeah, 12 hours.
You know, whatever. And then mode of ignorance is 8 p.m. to 4 a.m.
Oh, wow.
8 p.m. to 4. Okay. Yeah, you can totally feel it. I mean, when you stay up late, your desires start slowly shifting, right? Let's say it's 11 p.m. You want to watch a movie and just eat and indulge. Your senses become more active in a way that they are not at 8 a.m.
Yeah, even the kinds of activities that are open at all of those times, right?
Totally. Oh,
yeah. Think
totally.
About it. Like a nightclub's usually open, like, you know, whatever.
2, 3 a.m., yeah.
Till those times in the morning, depending.
Absolutely.
And so it's just really interesting how that plays out naturally without even like, you know?
Like even think of like a bakery, right? All of this like fresh bread that opens, like they're literally starting to work at like 3 o'clock in the morning or 4 o'clock in the morning and it stays open. And most bakeries, like they close around like 2 or 3, you know? Yeah. And then that's it. You know? And so like, that's really interesting. What what is open at different times of the night?
Totally.
At different times of the night?
Or at different times of the day,
oh,
right?
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah, what an interesting thought. It's true. Mm-hmm. So we want to like structure our days in a way that naturally lends itself to the current mode that is governing that time. And we want to strive to live our lives in the mode of goodness so that, because didn't they say something in the last episode that goodness then blesses you if you kind of act in a mode of goodness? It can almost like bless you and facilitate you tapping into that transcendental mode of like pure goodness, that you can strive to get into that mode.
I think it's going to tell us actually as we keep going.
Alrighty, tidy. Priyadarshini. Text
11.
All right.
Very nice.
The manifestation of the mode of goodness can be experienced when all the gates of the body are illuminated by knowledge.
Ooh, one more time.
The manifestation of the mode of goodness can be experienced when all the gates of the body are illuminated by knowledge.
Ooh, Ashama Sangeeta, what are the 9 gates of the body? Okay.
You're asking yourself a question.
I'm glad you asked. The 9 gates of the body are the 2 eyes, the 2 ears, the 2 nostrils, the mouth, the genitals, and the anus.
That's why you wanted to read
that. That's all I wanted to contribute to this verse. That's it.
And what happens when every gate is illuminated by the symptom of goodness?
It should be understood that one has developed the mode of goodness.
Beautiful. And in the mode of goodness, it's nice because then we can actually, you're in the mode of goodness, you're clear, you're illuminated. So that means that you can see things in the right position, Prabhupada says. You can hear things in the right position and you can taste things in the right position.
What do you think that means, in the right position?
Right. I was about to say, because sorry, there is the reality, the objective reality unfolding in front of us. And we're sometimes covered over by different modes that cloud us. Like we gave the example the last time, like let's say you're having a conversation with someone. When you're so in the mode of ignorance, you can't step outside your own perspective to even see what are they saying right now. You're just so set on like, no, this is it. No, this is it. You can't like, oh, okay, maybe they're saying this and I'm saying this. So how do we move forwards with this then? Mm. So I feel like the mode of goodness permits you to perceive reality as it is, whether it's in a interpersonal dynamic or in a spiritual path. You're aware of what is happening here, you know? Like a funny example is like last night when none of us could remember, did we read the English? So like just tired. That was tired. Yeah. Like ignorance sprouted from just sheer tiredness, but we just couldn't remember what was the reality that just happened. So that mode of goodness allows you to perceive reality as it is. And that is such a tool, such a weapon that allows us to deepen our interpersonal relationships and to deepen our spiritual path. Because we need to be able to see what is going on here. And when we're covered over, that also doesn't lead to deep self-confidence, because when you can't even perceive what is happening, you can feel that lack of confidence in, wait, did I just interpret that right? Or am I going a little crazy right now?
For sure.
You know?
So is the point to put only goodness things in all of these 9 gates?
The point is...
Okay.
Yeah. I'm just
the point is that you can feel
like seeing goodness things and hearing kirtan.
That's what you're thinking. Sure.
I think that it's saying that you can experience full goodness when you have the knowledge to understand how to use your eyes, how to use your ears, how to use your nose, like what the right ways of using those gates are.
Yeah. I'm aligned.
All right. Text 12, Shama Sangeeta.
Yes. Okay. Krishna is speaking. O chief of the Bharatas, when there is an increase in the mode of passion, the symptoms of great attachment, fruit of activity, intense endeavor, and uncontrollable desire and hankering develop.
You know,
Makes sense.
This is also a stark contrast with what we just read. Once all those gates, every aspect is aligned with goodness, you feel the symptom of happiness once you're situated in that position of goodness. So happiness is like content. I'm not hankering. That's like on the opposite end of, oh, I want this. I want that. I'm insatiable. I'm feeling I need more. I need to do more. It's the opposite feeling of just, you know what? Ah, life is good. Mm. I have what I have. I'm content with that. And I'm going to work on growing the garden of what I've already been given.
Yeah. It's like never being satisfied.
Totally.
It's very like workaholic things, right? Like great attachment because you're attached to either the promotion or the money, fruit of activities, intense endeavor when you're working so hard to achieve all of these things, uncontrollable desire. And once you get like, for instance, you're trying to get a brand new car, you're like, okay, what can I get? Like after a while, you're like, okay, this car is great, but now I want a better car. And desire and hankering develop.
But you know, it's not just about working. Yeah. I think like, you know, oftentimes we think of passion, we think of work or we think of relationships, right? But like it's of anything. It's just like desire for anything. Like, mm-hmm. oh, I desire to be famous. I desire to have many children. I desire to be the most knowledgeable. It's like this, like never. And if the knowledge is not spiritual knowledge, even that is unfulfilling and there is a lack of satisfaction.
Mm. Absolutely. And that's key, the lack of satisfaction. Because let's say you get what you want. You're still not happy because you want the next big thing, the next great thing. Prabhupada says, like, if someone wants to construct a residential house, he'll try to have the best palatial house as if he would be able to reside in that house eternally. Mm. And I'm sure once he gets that palatial house, he'll look at his neighbor and think, oh, their house is bigger. What in the world? I want that. And then you're always wanting, you're chasing the mirage of the next big thing.
Yeah. Have you guys seen the play Hamilton or have heard about it?
Yes. I've heard of it.
Yeah. Say more.
Well, there's a part in there where they sing about just never being satisfied because he is just, I mean, he's had a tough situation where his parents died. He was an orphan. He wanted more and more and more. And he just always wanted more. Mm. And that kind of in some ways was what got greatness, but also like his downfall in some ways. Mm-hmm. So there's a song about that. You'll never be satisfied. That's if so you know real. Hamilton.
I mean, I watched it. Anybody of you seen the J-Lo documentary?
No.
No? Where it's like talking about how J-Lo has constantly strived for more and more fame and influence to the point where she acknowledges herself that like, yeah, like I don't know what it is, this insatiable desire. Like I need to keep doing more and be out there more and like, yeah, like J-Lo's pretty old now and I've known her since like I was in high school, like singing J-Lo songs, but she has this need and she knows that it's not fulfilling her. Mm. She like talked about it in the documentary, but it's like people have it and it's hard to control.
I mean, I think like there's so many people like that, like even Kim Kardashian, right?
Yeah.
Like she now wants to be a lawyer. She now wants to be an actress. She now wants to be a model. She now wants to be like all the things. Yeah. And it's like in the moment when you're hankering for these things, you think, if only I accomplish all these things, I will be satisfied. Mm-hmm. But there's never an end to that, actually. There's never a moment where you're like, I did it.
Yeah.
You know, especially if you have that ongoing sort of, if passion is what leads your everyday life.
Yeah. And you know what's sad? Because I was just thinking the two examples you said, there are so many people that never take the next step to say, ah, wait a minute. If I haven't been satisfied till now, maybe I'm not looking in the right space and maybe nothing in this realm will satisfy me. Right. Like they just out of not having this knowledge, they just can't take the next step. And there are some people, celebrities included, that have said like, I know Jim Carrey had a nice quote that said something like,
oh, yeah,
yeah, I wish for everyone to be able to become rich and famous so they can see that that's not it. Mm. That will never bring you satisfaction.
Yeah.
You know, so sometimes like Krishna says in the Gita, you just need to start thinking a little, like in the area where he said, if you can't do this, do this, if you can't do that, do this. And the last step was just, okay, start thinking. Because once you start really thinking for a second, you'll realize this is all not it in this material realm. This is not going to bring me happiness. And so it's sad when I see so many people around the world, even if they acknowledge it, they don't take the next step to be like, ah, so it's not it. They just keep chasing the mirage, even though they realize nothing satisfied me till now. Maybe it'll be the next thing.
Like,
no.
Yeah. And I think it's the intention behind the mode of passion. We all have to be in the mode of passion to sustain our work, right? Yeah. And do anything, totally. Right? And I think it just, there is a really thin line between like, it's like, it's like sustaining yourself, but also like, it's like, for instance, like a doctor, right? They need to be in the mode of passion and they need mm-hmm. to be a good doctor mm-hmm. In order to actually help people and cure yeah. people, right? But the moment it turns into, I'm doing this because I need this. And when I get this, I get this. And then yeah. to achieve this, right? And so yeah. like, that's the part where it can become detrimental.
Yeah, because totally. Actually passion, I don't think, well, maybe ignorance is one that
is like inherently negative.
But most, yeah, but like goodness even is not inherently like perfect on its right. own, right? And, right. and passion, I think like you were saying, right? You need to have passion in order to, but not just for careers, like even to find a partner, you have to yeah. have a passion to want to look for one.
Absolutely.
Or even to feed yourself. You have to have some level of passion to be like, okay, let me go have the action, right? Like that energy of going and getting and doing, let me go get groceries so that I can cook and then I can do this. Like
yeah.
you need passion to, like you said, sustain, but everyday life, to have children, to have like, not just to have the energy to raise children, like all of yeah. those things require some level of passion. So it's not like we're inherently saying like, don't have passion mm-hmm. in life.
Passion
it's
is
not
bad.
Okay to have passions. No. I mean, we're very passionate about this podcast.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. So it's not really about that, but it's more about if that's what leads our whole life, right?
Yeah.
That's where it can become dangerous, because then it becomes really about sense gratification.
Yeah.
And it becomes like a place where you can never be satisfied because you will always hanker for more.
Desires.
Yeah. So I think yep. you have to just really be honest with what your intention behind everything. Because yeah, passion can be fun when directed properly. There are times where we do episodes where, I mean, this is also connected to something spiritual. So I would say it is like transcendental what we're talking about. But there are times where I feel like, you know, total like inspiring, creative action mode of passion. And it's fun to then, we're creating something together that we're all passionate about. And mm-hmm. it's enlivening to be doing this with you guys. So mm-hmm. like Priya said, it's not a negative thing inherently. We just really have to ask, okay, what's the intention behind this?
Yeah.
And is this the end all be all?
Yeah, that's a big question. Between all of our actions, what is yeah. the intention behind all yeah. of everything that I'm doing?
Yeah, and that's, I think, where you really take Krishna consciousness deeply, because it's not just about memorizing the most verses and being able to say them, but then living your life totally disconnected. It's about really questioning being conscious of what is my intention behind things? Where are my thoughts going? Krishna's in our heart, so we want to cleanse ourselves from the inside out. Mm.
All right. Text number 13, Shyamali.
When there is an increase in the mode of ignorance, O son of Kuru, darkness, inertia, madness, and illusion are manifested.
That was a little bit similar to a previous statement. It's kind of re-emphasizing how darkness makes us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Should we read the purport?
Stagnant.
Yeah. Priya, you want to do a line?
Yeah.
Sure. When there is no illumination, knowledge is absent.
One in the mode of ignorance does not work by a regulative principle. He wants to act whimsically for no purpose.
Can we break that one down? Because that's what I highlighted. And yeah. I feel like that's the main key, one of the main key things here.
Yeah. He wants to act whimsically for no purpose. What does that make you guys think of?
Like there's no direction,
yeah.
goal.
Yeah.
There's no passion in it,
yeah.
right? Mm-hmm. Which is like a bit of necessary, but then there's also no, yeah.
Yeah.
Like when you make a goal, I think you need to have like passion and goodness. I have this goal that is good for me, like, or good for somebody else, or good in a general sense. Mm. Then there needs to be like, how to do I make it work? Like, how do mm-hmm. I make it happen? Right. And I guess like, ignorance is like the opposite of both of those. I don't want to do anything. And if I'm going to do something, I'm not going to do it the right way. I'm just going to do it whatever way, because I don't want to really even.
I don't even want to do it.
Do this.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
is actually the next line, Shyamali.
Yeah. Even though he has the capacity to work, he makes no endeavor.
This is called illusion.
Although consciousness is going on, life is inactive.
These are the symptoms of one in the mode of ignorance.
Oof. This is almost, yeah. Wow.
Life is inactive. Yeah.
It's like you're not really living, you know, like that sort of phrase where you're just kind of not even surviving, just kind of like in inertia, like just like standing still when you are overcome by the mode of ignorance.
Yeah. I literally imagine like some teenager in their basement who stays up till 3 o'clock playing video games and smoking weed and just like goes, like has a job but like doesn't show up sometimes and like is, you know what I mean, just like that's
totally
that's the vibe that I'm imagining.
Yeah,
you know, it's almost like if people had a chance to live their life once and then go back to the very beginning and do it all over again, you would see how fast life really flies by. Mm. And then maybe you wouldn't get so stuck in each rut or each pitfall that comes your way, because you'd realize this is all part of the greater tapestry of my life.
Yeah.
And it's here to teach me something. And my sister told me something cute this morning when me and our roommate that's living with us, we were talking kind of loud and we woke her up. I didn't even realize she was there. And then my sister's like, ah, you guys. Anyway, at least I live with people that I love and have the capacity to even be woken up by you guys. It's mm-hmm. kind of like whenever, like, let's say if someone's frustrated with their parents griping at them, at least I have parents who care enough to do that. Or if you're complaining mm-hmm. about I have to cook tonight, at least I have food available to cook for, like almost trying to switch and shift that perspective of, but at least I have this even. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's real. I was listening to something on TikTok where it's like every 18-year-old should have to, before they start the workforce. It was like a radical idea. It's like every 18-year-old before they either start college or after college, before they start the workforce, they should have to like mandatory year in hospice care where they have to understand like this life is so short and like health is everything. And if you don't have it, you don't have anything. And if you totally. Literally are watching people every single day pass away, that memory will stick with you for the rest of your life. And you'll never not like do something. You'll never not be in the mode of ignorance when you realize how small this life is. I think so, yeah.
I mean, I've seen a lot of people die.
I mean, I think at a younger age, being around people who are like, and spending a year in hospice care, I think it would change mentalities around a lot of things.
Yeah, that's a deep thought.
Yeah, yeah.
But what makes you think?
I just think as human beings, we're unfortunately so forgetful and we get so complacent with sort of our realities.
Mm. That's why I want to make them do it for a year.
Yeah, maybe it would work. Yeah, totally. Mm. Okay, text 14.
Priyadarshini.
Oh, is it me? Okay. Yep. One in goodness attains higher planetary systems.
Wait, like, nope. 14?
Text what? 14.
You're reading the purport.
We need the verse. When one dies in the mode of goodness.
What was I reading?
The purport.
Wow, that's wild. Okay. Sorry, guys. Okay. When one dies. No, what?
Yeah. Yep, you got it. Keep going. Keep the sentence going.
I was reading the purport.
Yeah. We've established that.
We need the text.
We need the text.
No, I was reading the... Okay, I'm just going to... When one dies in the mode of goodness, he attains to the pure higher planets of great sages. Is that not what I was reading?
No.
You read the purport.
Oh my goodness.
It's a BGBF.
BGBF kind of day.
Okay, wait. Let me read it one more time because I'm confused. Okay. When one dies in the mode of goodness... He attains to the pure higher planets of the great sages.
Ooh.
Of the great sages, not Krishna.
So, because, right.
That's a very clear distinction.
Yeah, because mode of goodness, we're still not in that transcendental pure goodness plane.
Yeah, because if we die and we think of Krishna, we go to Krishna. But if we're like meditating on the sound of waves... What?
Yeah.
What? Yeah. You have a better one? Help me out.
I just think like if you live a pious mode of goodness life, let's say you're a doctor who's always...
No, but it says when one dies in the... Like if the moment of dying is in the mode of goodness. Yeah. Okay. So like someone who dies...
The sound of waves.
Yeah.
Like in their sleep.
Meditating on...
Would that be... I'm going to look this up. You guys keep talking.
Yeah, let's just say you're maybe thinking of neutral thoughts that are just mode of goodness. You've lived a mode of goodness life and you die just, let's say...
Thinking about your garden.
Thinking about the patients you helped save in the hospital.
Sure. Or the tomatoes you cultivated in your yard. Then you attain the higher planets of the great sages. You don't go to Krishna.
No. Yeah. Because, Prabhupada says, one in goodness attains higher planetary systems like Brahma Loka or Jnana Loka and there enjoys godly happiness.
Ah.
Okay. And here in Sanskrit, they use the word amalan, and it's significant, Prabhupada says, because it means free from the modes of passion and ignorance. So you have to be free from those.
Okay. Yeah. Wait, okay. So I think the interwebs is not perfectly correct, but it's an interesting thought process. So maybe we can dissect it.
Did you say interweb?
Yes.
Interwebs, yes.
Okay, so an example of dying in the mode of goodness would be someone who's well, they made it Krishna consciousness. So they said, but I don't think this is what Prabhupada is saying here, right, because we're differentiating between like dying in a Krishna conscious way versus goodness, passion, and ignorance, right?
Right.
So, but they said someone who's fully conscious and mentally prepared in the time of death.
Okay.
So like they can, they're able to chant Krishna's name. They can like all of that. But I feel like
that's like extra. Only
right. So let's look at the other ones, right? So like when it comes to passion, it says someone dying in the mode of passion might be deeply concerned with their unfinished plans, possessions, or reputation. They could have a strong desire to continue their work or protect their loved ones, which could lead to a restless state of mind. So a restless state of mind.
Oh, that's a little scary because that's so easy to be thinking of what you're going to leave behind and your loved ones.
That's Shyamali thinks about that all the time. Shyamali's brain is just like, it's very fast. And I think like when we get to the mode of passion, that's also the next verse. So we can talk about mode of passion a little bit further in there. Yeah.
Okay. And it says this attachment might lead them to reincarnate in a situation that allows them to fulfill these lingering desires. So like when you are like, oh, I want to finish my work or I want to be with my family, that, you know, brings you back connected to those people. And then dying in the mode of ignorance, an example is someone who it could involve someone who has led a life of addiction or cruelty, who has faced death with fear, confusion, or anger. So like these darkness energies, like the way you're dealing with dying, they might be unconscious or heavily sedated with little awareness of their passing, or they might even resist or struggle at the end. Such a state of mind is thought to lead to a lower birth in the next life as they remain trapped in ignorance.
That's sad.
Wild.
Yeah.
Whew.
Interesting. Yeah.
So our job is to die beyond the mode of goodness.
Yeah.
Yeah. And in this case, we're not really even talking about our job, but just like what happens, you know, like just factually, like, and those were more accurate for ignorance and passion. But what does Prabhupada say here about goodness?
Well, he says there are impurities in the material world, but the mode of goodness is the purest form of existence still within this material world. Mm-hmm. So we haven't gone beyond it. And that's our goal. We want to transcend it.
Yeah. I also think about, okay, for example, I know this is maybe not something we want to talk about, but my grandmother is a devout Christian. Mm-hmm. And when she passes away, if she's like in a clear state of mind, not feeling anger or resentment, not feeling attachment, not feeling all of these things that are considered passionate or ignorance, she would go to a, not Krishna directly, but a
Brahma Loka or
a higher planet Jana of some Loka. Sort, right?
Yeah.
So that's kind of like the mode of goodness vibe where it's like not necessarily Krishna related, but you're still going to a higher planet of some sort because your mind is clear. There's no attachment necessarily. You've lived your life. You've been fulfilled. You know what I mean?
You still reap the rewards of being good actually on those planets, right?
Yeah.
Now definitely. I do think of people who, let's say, are Christian, but they pass away thinking of God in such a devout way. It may not be Krishna, but it's God. Like I've talked before about that Catholic mystic, Saint Teresa of Avila, that she had a conception of God as her lover. And we've talked before about the different, the Gita talks about the different relationships you can have with Krishna as a friend, as a parental feeling, lover, different ones. So Saint Teresa of Avila, one of her final words before she died was, my Lord, my husband, I cannot wait to see you finally again.
Yeah, that's a perfect example.
And I don't think she would just be mode of goodness. She has transcended that. That is beyond. You don't think? Like that is, no. Even though she's not calling him the word Krishna.
No, because I think, I mean, if I understand this correctly, and I might be wrong, so I will put that out there. There's like a Indra Loka. There's like a Jesus Loka. There's like a Buddha Loka. We're talking about like there's planetary systems for anyone who has a deep sense of devoutness for any quote-unquote God.
Is there agnostic Loka?
I mean, I don't think she would attain Krishna Loka because she's not thinking of Krishna.
But she would go to like wherever, like it's a higher planet of some sort for sure.
Right. I don't think she would go to Krishna Loka, but I do think that feeling of total pure devoutness, it is beyond just mode of goodness that let's say someone who's meditating on waves mm-hmm. might have, you know, like it's
but that's the thing. It's like meditating on waves doesn't mean good mode of goodness. Like I think it's necessarily.
Or if you spent your whole time meditating, and that's the like last if you're, thing I think
but, because you think about it like this, like whether it's someone who's meditated for the last 10 years of their life, even for the last year of their life, very seriously, and they're like very committed, and they pass away in a very like they let go, they're not attached. Again, given all the circumstances of not passing right. away in passion or ignorance, right?
Right.
What happens is they go to a higher planet, and then they reap the rewards of their efforts. And then they get the opportunity to be born in another body that is more connected to Krishna. So they get an opportunity to be born, like, for example, me or you, who are born into a family of Krishna consciousness, so that we can get that already from the get-go without having to struggle to find it.
Right, right, right. I think there are different, flavors of mode of goodness where one feels like,
Spiritual versus not.
I don't know the exact like what shade of pure goodness versus just regular goodness they would fall upon, but I just can't help but feel like, okay, Saint Teresa, a Catholic mystic who dies totally ready to see God versus someone who dies in, let's say, just the normal mode of goodness, that they've lived a good life. They're thinking about their garden. They're peaceful. They're detached.
I think we can know because like, for example, like let's say my grandma's the other person, right? Mother Saint Teresa, or my grandma Teresa. Okay.
She's called Teresa.
Yes.
That's so funny.
Wow.
Okay. So grandma Teresa or Saint Teresa.
Yes.
So grandma Teresa. So
grandma Teresa has been very religious her whole life. Right. And she's followed all the principles.
And dedicated to who?
Jesus Christ.
Okay,
Jesus
but she
Christ.
Would still be in the spiritual category.
But it's not the same as a saint. So
No, of course.
So that's a distinction.
Because Grandma Teresa dedicated her life to Jesus, and then Grandma Teresa goes to Jesus Loca.
Whereas
your girl Teresa here, the nun, saint. Your girl Saint Teresa,
right?
Where she's like, ooh, Lord, which is like God. And so maybe like a different...
She goes to a different higher planet. Yeah.
Like God Loca.
Yeah. I agree with all this. I was just thinking in my mind, there's a difference I feel with people who are in the spiritual category of mode of goodness versus not, you know, like...
What would be an example of not?
Well, that... I just can't help but think of your silly example of the waves or like someone who does not think of God when they're passing away in any conception of God. They just... They're detached. They're free from anxiety. They've lived a mode of goodness life.
But it's not just about thought. It's like how they die.
Right. And then they die thinking of whatever.
But it's not about
their garden or the waves.
I see what you're saying.
You know what I mean? That it's not even connected to God.
They're dying in the mode of goodness. So they're dying in the morning time as, you know, they hear the ocean in the background as like, it's all very peaceful. They're ready to go. They're not attached to things. But how did that person get to that place if they didn't do a spiritual practice?
I mean, there's a lot of people that have not dedicated themselves to God, but they've been good people. They've helped society.
But they have some sort of spiritual practice to be able to not feel an attachment to like people, like, right? Like to not be attached to your family and say like, oh, it's my time to go, or to not be attached to the results or their things.
Not necessarily.
Yeah, not necessarily.
There's like my partner, Nina, for example, right? Not attached to any sort of God figure, but one of the most moral people that I know, just a good person, gives in charity, like, and is not attached to a lot of things actually. I cannot guarantee what she will think of at the time of death. However, but she's not going to go to where your grandma goes, right? Because your grandma's going to go to...
I see what you're saying. Okay.
Your girl Teresa is going to go to some sort of godly planet where she gets another chance.
Exactly. But, I'm just trying to say there's different shades. Like they're not all just the same mode of goodness.
No, for sure. That's why there's so many different like higher planets, right? Because again, it's like...
Based off of what karma you've committed, right? And then you enjoy the fruits of that.
Mm-hmm. Totally. That's interesting. That's a good thought process.
Yeah.
Alrighty. Text 15.
Shama Sangeeta.
All right. When one dies in the mode of passion, he takes birth among those engaged in fruitive activities. And when one dies in the mode of ignorance, he takes birth in the animal kingdom.
Oh, snap. So this is a heavy one because we think that once we've reached this valuable platform of a human life, we're never able to go down again. And Prabhupada says that is incorrect.
Nope.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like the examples that we just talked about, right?
Yeah.
Like if what you're thinking at the last, not thinking, but if your life, the moment in which you're dying is a moment in which you're feeling, I wanted to work more. I wanted to bring my family with me. I wanted, you're going to be born in a circumstance that gives you that. If you're in the mode of ignorance and you're like, you know, unconscious or like just, mm-hmm. you know, whatever. Not necessarily just unconscious. What
you're
were some
high,
of the other examples?
You're yeah. on some sort of substance or you're sleeping a lot or you don't even care that you're even passing away.
You live the life of cruelty and addiction and you're very afraid mm-hmm. of death. And the moment, if you're very afraid in that moment, you're more likely to take a breath as an animal.
That is right. fascinating concept. Right? Fascinating.
Especially the fear part, because imagine you live a life in which you try to balance mostly goodness, but you're super afraid at the end. What is that? What combination does that, you know, like we will never know, but it's such an interesting thought.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause once if we go back down, and I think of people, who lived a life of cruelty, truly cruel, and they have to be born way down the ladder. Prabhupada says from there, one has to again do the whole process of elevating himself by an evolutionary process to come again to the human form of life.
Yeah.
And that,
There's a picture in the Gita, plate 12, I think it is. And it's like this cruelty notion, right? Where it's like, if you're cruel in this life, you are definitely going to take birth in the animal kingdom. Plate 12 says animal killers. It's actually showing a picture of of a butcher who has the head of a cow? I think it's a cow.
Bull.
A bull, right? And then the bull has the head of a human. And so literally saying animal killers do not know that in the future, the animal will have a body suitable to kill them. That is the law of nature, right? Oh. So if you spent your entire life just harming animals, you're actually going to have to come back in that animal form to feel the brunt of that, the consequences of your actions. Just reverse. That is the law of nature and karma.
Right.
Wild.
Yeah, so...
Can I say something though? Because given all the concepts we've talked about, this is a question for both of you to consider. And I don't know. Like we talked about how the material nature is being enacted upon us, right? So like, let's say the mode of ignorance is like constantly throwing our way. For someone who is in the mode of ignorance, is it just that they can't break out of what they've already been given? Like in a previous life, they must have done something to receive so much of a mode of ignorance affecting them, right? Because... Does that make sense what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
So how do you even overcome that unless you like that's a big challenge if you've done something to give yourself mode of ignorance in this lifetime. You did it in your past lifetime, but you have to deal with the consequences of your actions. How to come out of it so that you don't become an animal, so that you have to redo all of it again is like a wild thought process.
Yeah. I think there's so many ways we can start answering this, but the first thought that pops up, this kind of related, is that we've talked before that this human life, this middle plane on earth, is such a great place to make advancement, because in the lower planetary systems, the more hellish ones, suffering is so great that it's really hard to make spiritual advancement. And if you go more to the heavenly realms, the enjoyment is so great and alluring that it's also hard to make spiritual advancement. But when we're here, yes, the modes are, to your point of like, it's difficult. If you're born into a situation where you're constantly bombarded by the mode of ignorance or the mode of passion or even the mode of goodness, it's hard to break out, but it's easier in this plane than it is in many other planes.
Yeah.
So I think that's one thing we have going for us, that it is easier.
Yeah. I just can't imagine, like, you know, we keep talking about addicts, but like imagine being born into a family of addicts.
Yeah.
Like if that is your environment, like getting out of that environment and even knowing to get out of that environment, how much of it can you actually control? I don't know. I've never been in that position
but that is the law of karma, right? Karma, there is a reason that you were born into a family of addicts, right? And so that karma in this lifetime has to still go through, right?
Yeah.
It has to still manifest. And so it is really difficult when you're in a lower in the mode of ignorance or in like even an animal body. Like I know if you come across a devotee and we chant Hare Krishna to animals, like that's like one way to liberate. But like imagine there's billions of animals on this planet that don't get that mercy, right? And so I feel like just having access to this knowledge, we should be so grateful that we even have a chance to get out of this cycle.
Yeah. And I like to think also we have such a fair God who's so compassionate and so loving. So even if it's hard for us to understand the complexities, even with reading the Gita, how does exactly karma work? I like to think that the systems that are in place that govern this world and us, Krishna wants us to come back to him. So it's going to be fair within the difficulties, you know? Because I hear you. It is hard when you think about those people. Like, it's as if they're swimming against a current, and that sounds rough, but I like to still, I totally have faith that karma is so deep and precise and Krishna is so compassionate and fair that somehow it's going to work itself out, that Krishna wants us to come back to him. He doesn't want to, like, it's not like that teacher that wants to surprise you on the test, like, gotcha. He doesn't want to do that. So somehow things will end up working out in the jiva, in the soul's best interest.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I was thinking about also, because I'm just listening to you guys and I'm processing what you're saying. And I'm also thinking about it like from other people's perspectives and just like right now we're like so grateful. Being a devotee is the only way. This is the, and to some degree, facts. Right. And then to another degree, it's like, well, there's also other kinds of goodness out there. Right. We're not trying to take that for granted. Mm-hmm. I love my grandmother and I'm very like, happy for her journey that she was so devout into, like, you know, for Jesus Christ. And like, I don't know, like, how do we both have such a strong feeling of this is the best thing we could ever encounter without getting into a position of like, we're better than anyone else kind of mood. Ooh. For people listening who might be agnostic or, you know,
how do we
Catholic,
stay humble in this?
Christian, yeah. Like, how do you, I don't know. Is that even a position that we take?
No, I think like Prabhupada always said that like if you come across someone who is a devout Christian or devout Muslim, you encourage them in their faith, right? Because they're trying on their path. He never said, and I think this is foolish for any of us to think that just because we believe certain thing, like we think Krishna is God, that doesn't make any other belief, like that's not the topmost belief, right? It may be for us, but we are also not at a place to be like, your God is not true because we believe that God is one, right? And so I think like the humility is also really important there.
Yeah, because that's absolutely my train of thought when I was thinking there are different categories of those who die in pure mode of goodness for God, whatever the path, versus those who die in mode of goodness, sans spirituality. Because as Shama said, God is one. And all of these different paths are different routes to get to the same end goal. So Prabhupada literally says you can use this bhakti yoga philosophy to deepen your relationship with whatever conception of God you have. So he's not saying this is the only way. He's saying he's promoting love of God. Whatever you want to call God does not matter. So that's why I really think someone who has total devout, and it's funny because there's another there's another Teresa. She's an old little nun at my school, and she's not Saint Teresa of Avila, but she has so much love for God, more than most young bhakti yoga practitioners, more than myself that I've experienced. Like, and she just doesn't call God Krishna. And I think if with what Prabhupada has said in the past, I think her next destination is totally secure. Like I would never look at her as like, oh, she's not as fortunate as me. She is more fortunate than myself and most other people I know on any path because she has such love and such faith, you know?
And so maybe she'd be happy at Jesus Loka. Maybe we'd be happy at Krishna Loka and everyone's just happy with what they want to be wherever they end up, you know?
Yeah. Absolutely. So there is an absolute difference with dying in the mode of pure goodness when you're connected to God, Allah, Christ, Krishna, whatever you want to call God. You're going to that planet of that God Loka, God's name
it's
Loka.
It's not like we're like sitting up there in Krishna Loka and being like, oh my God, look at all those peasants in Jesus Loka.
Absolutely. I think that's a great distinction to make because it's not like that at all.
So otherwise, if we had that mentality, we would never make it up to Krishna Loka.
Exactly. We would never make it ourselves. Yeah, that would be a detriment to our own selves on our path.
Yeah. So basically, I mean, as far as this text, ideally, we just don't want to die in the mode of ignorance or the mode of passion. We just want to try to focus on the goodness. Even at the bare minimum.
And next, if we can, pure goodness, connecting it to God in whatever conception of God you have.
And we'll get there. But for now, like that's sort of what Krishna's saying,
Right.
And we're gonna try our best.
Prabhupada wraps it up with saying, this is the aim of the human life. Become situated and take this human life form seriously because there's no guarantee that the human being will attain another human state. So this life is so precious.
Yeah.
So precious.
Definitely.
All right. We are going to start again in the next episode, chapter 14, text number 16.
See you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
beautiful souls, if you like what you're hearing, please follow us on Instagram at Modern Yogi Podcast.
And if you love what you're hearing, please make sure to share a link to our podcast at Modern Yogi Podcast with all your friends, families, and long lost cousins.
And if you have any questions at all, send us a DM on Instagram at Modern Yogi Podcast, and we'll be sure to get back to you.
Thank you for listening to
The Modern Yogi.